This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and more accountable government. I'm Chris Sims. I'm the Alberta director. I'm actually on the road right now in God's country in Red Deer, Alberta. And joining me today is, of course, my friend Franco Terrazano. He's in Ottawa. Hi, Franco. Poor Franco.
Unfortunately, I'm not in Alberta with you. Yeah.
I know. Everybody's asking me, where's Franco? I'm like, he's out there serving time in the embassy in Ottawa. And for Carson Binda, he's holding down the fort there in Vancouver. Are you in Vancouver today, Carson, or Victoria?
That's right. I'm in Vancouver. Just got in last night, and it's great to be home.
Awesome. Okay, we have got a special episode for you, because you guys might have heard about something about the carbon tax and something about the NDP, and a whole bunch of stuff blew up. Now, I'm showing my age, but following politics is like following a soap opera. Nothing happens for months, and then everything happens at once. So, Franco, I'm going to let you lead this thing off. What is going on with the federal leader of the NDP, Jagmeet Singh, and the carbon tax?
Well, folks, this is a real big news story and a real big shift here in Ottawa, okay, because there is a bigger crack in Trudeau's carbon tax armor, and it's coming from the NDP. So warning, we're going to throw a clip to federal NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, who is signaling that his party may start to oppose Trudeau's carbon tax. Give it a watch. Give it a listen.
We want to see an approach to fighting the climate crisis where it doesn't put the burden on the backs of working people, where big polluters have to pay their fair share. They have to pay the price of their pollution, but it shouldn't be on working people's shoulders. And so we've been working on a plan, and we'll be releasing our plan, our vision for how we can do that in a stronger way in the coming months.
Would the plan include a consumer carbon tax?
Well, we'll let you know when the plan is ready, and we'll let you know more details about it.
Well, there it is, folks. I mean, Singh is saying that the NDP may start to back away from Trudeau's carbon tax. So, you know, a couple things come to mind. Number one, like, huge kudos to the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters, all of you guys listening or watching the show. Okay, huge, huge kudos to you. Now, obviously, the fight is not over. The fight remains. But folks, just think about it, right? Like, how long has Singh supported Trudeau's carbon tax? For a very long time. But because our Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters have been hammering politicians with emails and phone calls, hammering them so hard that now even Singh has to backtrack and oppose, or at least signal that the NDP will oppose the carbon tax. Now, a couple other things more substantively, all right? Number one, it's good to hear Singh start to talk about opposing the carbon tax, right? It's a good first step, but like, we all know we're not naive here. The fight is not over. Now we need to push Singh to formally call on Trudeau publicly to scrap the carbon tax, right? Right now, Singh is just signaling that the NDP may back away from the carbon tax. We need Singh to forcefully oppose and tell Trudeau to scrap the carbon tax in public. This can't just be grandstanding. The carbon tax is too big of an issue. It makes life too expensive for Canadians. So we need Singh to formally call on Trudeau to scrap the carbon tax. And I think we can, if us and the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters keep on putting the pressure that led to Singh backtracking on the carbon tax.
For sure. This is a huge army win for a battle, but the war is not over. And so it's super important for people to keep paying attention to this. Now, Franco, a little bit of inside baseball for our loyal listeners. Franco and I just finished, I think it was writing a column about this. And then a bunch of us were doing, you know, action updates to our supporters saying, hey, guys, you know, Singh is now talking about the carbon tax. Way to go. Keep pushing, keep pushing. But like happens in politics sometimes, there's a ripple effect. And Carson, there might be an election coming up in the West Coast in British Columbia. And I was floored. I couldn't believe it when you mentioned it. Oh, by the way, NDP Premier David Eby is changing his mind on the carbon tax in BC. Pigs are flying. What is going on?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. We're about a month before an election, and as always happens in silly season, we've got a bunch of big announcements from our politicians here in BC. And the one that caught my eye most was Premier David Eby finally committing to ending the carbon tax on normal British Columbians. But it's not quite as straightforward as that sounds. David Eby promises he'll scrap the consumer carbon tax in BC, but only once he gets permission from Ottawa. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but I don't think our premier should be waiting to get permission from Trudeau before he steps in and makes life more affordable for normal British Columbians. And we're talking about real savings for normal folks if EB does the right thing and scraps the carbon tax on British Columbians. In Vancouver, where I'm sitting, and across the province, the carbon tax adds about 17.6 cents to the cost of gasoline per liter. On a minivan fill up, that's about 13 bucks. If your family fills up once a week the minivan, that's about $670 over the course of the year. And it doesn't stop there. On home heating fuels, on the natural gas British Columbians need to heat their homes when the wild West Coast winds are howling, most families are going to be spending about $330 on the carbon tax alone this winter. So David Eby, he's moving in the right direction. He's finally acknowledged that the carbon tax makes life unaffordable for British Columbians, but he shouldn't be waiting to get permission from Trudeau. He needs to move now to make life more affordable for folks who are struggling right now in BC.
Yeah, for sure. Do we want to get into the fact that British Columbia is the origin story when it comes to the carbon tax a little bit here, guys?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, Chris. Way back in 2008, BC was the first jurisdiction in Canada to bring in a carbon tax. And back then, it was touted as this big environmental achievement. Our premier at the time, a guy named Gordon Campbell, promised again and again and again that the carbon tax would lead to 33% reductions in emissions between 2007 and 2020, this year that he said our emissions would go down 33%. Said it again and again. I'm going to quote the former premier here because I think his words sum it up the best. He said, "We in British Columbia said it's going to be 33%. We all support that. That's going to require not just cap and trade, but a carbon tax." And folks, do you want to guess if we reached that target by 2020? No, of course we didn't. In reality, provincial greenhouse gas emissions only fell by about 3.8% from 2007 to 2020. But remember, folks, the world was a bit different in 2020. We were all on lockdown. Folks weren't driving to the office. Folks certainly weren't traveling around our provinces. Businesses were closed. It was in the middle of lockdowns. So let's look at 2019, the year before. Mm-hmm. In 2019, emissions were actually up by about 2.2% compared to the baseline year. So it's pretty clear that the carbon tax did not work as advertised by our politicians here in BC. It didn't reduce emissions by 33% by 2020. It failed to achieve its purpose.
It failed over and over again. I wanted to stress this too, if I can, Franco. Being from BC, I did a lot of time in Ottawa on Parliament Hill, but I'm born in BC, raised there, worked there. And we were told so many things back when this was brought in. It was shiny. It was 2008. Even then, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger in California, he was supporting a carbon tax. It was the cool kid thing to do. And they kept on setting these targets of, you know, below 2007 levels, right? And they kept failing. They kept missing those targets. And so they said that it was going to stop at $30 a ton. They said it was going to be revenue neutral. They said that it was going to create a whole bunch of other alternative affordable energies. They also said, and this is key, it would reduce emissions. It would make emissions go down. Today, none of those things is true, folks. And so if there's any folks listening to this who consider themselves small E environmentalists, like it's really important to them, the carbon tax is not the way to reduce emissions in Canada. Just look at BC. And so I think this might be playing into one of the reasons why now I think a lot of people might be turning on it, Franco, that they're realizing that it's huge financial pain and they're not seeing the emissions reductions that have been promised by politicians for years.
Well, it is huge financial pain, right? It really is. I mean, you know, it's almost like every other day there's a new report from the government that shows what everyone outside of the Ottawa bubble already knows, that the carbon tax is a huge financial drain that we can't afford. So folks, new report from the government shows that Trudeau's second carbon tax, yes, there are two carbon taxes, will cost the Canadian economy $9 billion by 2030. Okay, so we all know about the carbon tax at the pumps, right? The one that makes it more expensive to fuel up the one that makes it more expensive to heat your home and to buy food. But Trudeau also brought in a second carbon tax that he buried in fuel regulations. Okay, and that second carbon tax will cost the Canadian economy about $9 billion by 2030. $9 billion by 2030. Now, that second carbon tax, according to another report from the PBO, shows that it will cost or increase the price of gas by up to 17 cents a liter by 2030. Okay, so if you look at Trudeau's two carbon taxes from multiple different reports, they will both increase the price of gas by about 55 cents per liter by 2030. And you're looking at more than a $30 billion hit to the economy from Trudeau's carbon taxes by 2030. And you're looking at about 100,000 fewer jobs in Canada by 2030 because of Trudeau's two carbon taxes. So report after report after report after report shows that the carbon tax is costing Canadians big time, is costing the economy big time, and it's even leading to less job opportunities. Now, Chris, after all of the reports that show the carbon tax costs us big time, after all of the data that Carson was talking about, how the carbon tax isn't a great environmental solution, it's not an environmental solution at all when you consider the fact that Canada's emissions are 1.5% of world emissions, after right. all of that, but really after the pressure from the people, i.e. the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters, we are seeing massive change from the NDP if you look back over the last handful of years, where you have the federal NDP leader, Singh, backtracking on the carbon tax. You have EB, the BC NDP premier, doing a full 180. But Chris, as you've mentioned in one of the great articles that you wrote for the Toronto Sun national newspaper chain, you mentioned that if you actually take a longer historical time frame of it all, the NDP used to oppose the carbon tax back in the day. Why don't you tell us about that history?
Yeah, for sure. So I feel like Grandpa Simpson right now under the apple tree and all everybody's gathering around. I'm going to tell you a story from back in the day. So back in 2008, on Parliament Hill, the late, he's now passed away, leader of the NDP was named Jack Layton. And back then, to Carson's point, that's when carbon taxes started becoming the chat, right? People were talking about it. That's when BC put theirs in, okay? So it was in the ether. Jack Layton, pretty much unprompted, came out and said, you know what? I'm paraphrasing him. This is unfair to burden normal working people with a punishment of the carbon tax. It's especially going to affect normal working people and people with lower incomes. And he particularly pointed out the obvious thing, that Canada is a big, cold place. And it's super wrong to punish them with a carbon tax for the sin of heating their home. So that was all public. There's like mainstream media newspaper articles on this. I remember booking him myself for the CTV talk show we had every day. He talked about this out loud himself. This was the common stance then in 2008 from the federal NDP. But what's even more interesting is taking that leadership from Jack Layton. By the way, the NDP is all the same party for nerds who don't know. The NDP is all the same party. They have the same constitution. They have the same command structure, everything. So taking leadership from Jack Layton at the time, then the BC NDP were railing against the British Columbia carbon tax. They called the label of revenue neutral lipstick on a pig. This is my favorite part. Their campaign slogan for that election, which happened right around the same time, axe the tax. Yes, that was an NDP election slogan to get rid of the carbon tax. So it may seem weird to see these guys and gals doing a 180 now, or at least trying to get the bus going in reverse, but they're really just coming back to their core principle of opposing the carbon tax as the NDP.
And you know what? It paid off for Layton, right? Electorally, yeah. It paid off for Layton, right? I mean, the 2008 election, you had the Liberal leader at the time, Stéphane Dion, who ran on a federal carbon tax, right? I believe the platform was something along the line of like the green shift, and it included a carbon tax.
And by that, he means pivot, just to really emphasize that word.
Yeah, there you go, right? The green shift.
There you go.
And what happened? So Dion ran on a carbon tax with the Liberals. You had Layton hammering away against the carbon tax. Canada is a cold place. Heating your home isn't a choice. We shouldn't be punishing hardworking Canadians with a carbon tax. Well, what happened in the 2008 election? The Liberals, they lost a bunch of seats. The NDP gained seats. And then after that 2008 election, what happened? Layton continued to hammer away at the carbon tax. Mm-hmm. And that set him up to bring the NDP to their high watermark, where they then in 2011 formed the official opposition with Layton opposing carbon taxes. So like, look, I'm not like a political science or a pundit at all, right? I like to stick to the dollars and cents and numbers and how governments are soaking taxpayers. But like, you don't need a PhD in political science to figure out, I don't know, man, like if you want to gain support for your party, maybe oppose a policy that makes the necessities of life more expensive.
Yep, that was the word on the ground. Even when Stéphane Dion became the leader of the Liberal Party, it was the last real leadership rally that happened in Montreal. Okay. And it was at the very end and he kind of slipped up the middle, right? They had delegates on the ground. It was the last real delegated leadership convention that happened in Canada, as far as I understand. Again, I was there. I was reporting live from the scene. They often refer to that, Liberals do. They often refer to that moment as the Montreal mistake. And that's also because the green shift, the green plan coming from then Liberal leader Stéphane Dion, they didn't think it was going to fly. They thought that people would get upset. Ding, ding, ding. Survey shows. It's really interesting to see that after that election and later on in 2011, that's when Layton gained the most seats. And actually, I was surprised. I had to go check it. That's the first time they ever formed official opposition. My brain was thinking back to the former leader, Ed Broadbent. He had a good showing back in the 80s, but they never actually achieved official opposition status until Jack Layton. So it's really interesting to see Singh hopefully signaling to go back that way and go back to the core principle of the NDP.
With that, guys, you know, we just wanted to have kind of this different episode, right? Yeah. An episode because there is a collapse of the carbon tax, major news. So we wanted to give it to you. Now, normally on these podcast episodes, we'll all have a little bit of a taxpayer pro tip, but today we decided before the call, we're going to have one taxpayer pro tip to end the show. And that taxpayer pro tip goes out to you, the listeners, the people watching this on YouTube, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters. Number one, thank you for all your work. Number two, kudos. Your hard work and your advocacy and your pressure is paying off, right? We all know, between all of us here, we all know that some of those politicians in the NDP would love to crank up any tax they could, right? Mm-hmm. We know. But they had to back away from the carbon tax, both EB in British Columbia and even Singh in Ottawa. They had to back away from the carbon tax because of pressure from people like you, the Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters. So kudos. Your pressure is the reason that they're backing away from the carbon tax. But the fight is not over. The carbon tax is still here in Canada. So the pro tip goes out to you, Canadian Taxpayers Federation supporters. Your pressure is working, but there is still more work to be done. And let's all of us continue to fight until carbon taxes are completely scrapped from Canada.
Excellent. Guys, if you're listening to this and you're not yet part of the taxpayer army, this is your moment, okay? We are pushing so hard right now to get rid of the carbon tax. So join our army. How you do that? Go to our website, taxpayer.com, find the petition, in this case, against the carbon tax, scrap the carbon taxes, sign that petition. What does that do? That makes you part of our army. So the next time we are mass emailing a member of parliament or say the NDP leader, something like that, all at once, you are part of that army and you're going to be part of the change that you want to see happen. So folks, head on over to taxpayer.com. That is where you can stand up and be heard.